So I'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning. I'd like to thank everyone for giving me this opportunity to have this lesson this morning. And I was also just kind of thinking along with things. You guys get a little bit of a contrast, right? Abe's been able to raise two children, right, throughout the years, and I'm just getting started, right? So we have two different types of fathers this morning. And kind of when I was putting this together, I was thinking along the lines of that. And I normally leave my slides or just blank white slides, but this one was called Reflections. And I thought, well, that was great, because that's normally what we think about as parents. As you know, we normally reflect back on things. And that's kind of just what I had thought about when I picked this out, just kind of reflections. I'd like to thank all that Abe had put together for us this morning, especially with all of the stats. That's really scary, right, when you look at all of that stuff that's put together. I know up in Dayton they were putting together kind of an initiative to kind of help people out so they, you know, they don't get caught in this pattern. And they've got that pattern down to figuring out to help kids make decisions at 12 years old. That's their new demographic that they're trying to hit, 12 years old, to help them make right decisions. Because if they don't make decisions according to what they've studied, that's what all the other numbers turn into. So just with that, that's just kind of what I was thinking through Abe's lesson. There's a lot of things that we can do to help out. So like I was mentioning, this is actually my first Father's Day, right? So I just wanted to show this picture up here. This is just kind of a, almost kind of a scary picture when you really think about it. So this is Emma at 1 month, right? And then this is Emma just a couple weeks ago at 8 months, right? So you have Emma to where she's not really sitting in, even up in a chair. You have to support her and everything to where she's almost walking around, right? 8 months. You know, we had talked today in James when we were studying this morning that life is but a vapor. And wow, this 8 months have already went past, right? And she's almost walking. So that's kind of scary. So I just kind of wanted to show that picture just to kind of put things in perspective. Like I said, I am a new father this morning. But I would like to talk about father starting out this morning by talking about grammar. Right? So let's talk about grammar this morning. I just want to point something out here real quick. And don't follow my grammar rules, because at the last slide I'm going to break all of the rules that I'm going to talk about here in grammar. But there is something important that I wanted to talk about. So the first slide, of course, we have Father's Day with the apostrophe S. So I just wanted to mention that, because I don't know how much you guys may remember back in school about grammar. I am not good at grammar at all. That's not even a grammarly correct sentence. I don't really like grammar, but I've been writing a whole lot of papers recently. And just going back and looking at the way that we should structure grammar. And I thought this was great when we talk about today's lesson, because it's all in where we're putting the apostrophe. Right? So let's see this real quick. Think of the apostrophe mark as a hook or hand reaching out to take ownership of an object. So that's where how we should put the apostrophe, right? Taking ownership. So today, we're going to be looking at a father's responsibility, right? So it's reaching out for the S, so therefore it's taking ownership, right? So that's kind of what I want to think of things today. So remember how I said this is how it should be, then in my last slide I break all these rules, because really it's I have the apostrophe in the wrong place, but I have it in the right place to show ownership, but the sentence is not grammatically correct. I just wanted to point that out. So at the end of the lesson, I don't want somebody coming up and being like, well, you know, all of those are wrong. Yeah, I know. But it'll make sense when we put everything together at the end. So let's talk a little bit about parenthood. And in order to talk about parenthood, there's something I would like to think about, right? So with parenthood, I think with that, we have to start out with the right marriage. So, I just wanted to point this out here real quick, that marriage is forever, right? Hopefully, we'll bring up kids, you know, they'll move away, right? They'll get married and we'll start this cycle, right? So, I just wanted to talk about marriage real quick, and I just wanted to mention this here in Genesis 2 and 24. It mentions, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, right? So before we can talk about fathers and being a father, we have to talk about God's process, right? So at the end, we're going to kind of put this process together. But for this first part, we can't be really a father, right, without being a husband first. So we're going to talk about all of these pieces. And of course, about being a husband, you have duties as being a husband. You have duties about being a father, right? So this is just one piece of this puzzle that we're going to be putting together today about husbands. fathers. So, I wanted to mention with this as well, this is something that we've been studying. I think Abe just did this last Sunday. We had talked about deacons and elders and what it was to conduct ourselves in the churches. Well, you have to be a husband and a father to have one of these roles. So let's look here in Timothy 3, 2, and then 4 and 5. I just wanted to bring out these verses real quick so I can kind of bring home the importance of being a husband and a father. So, with this, in 1 Timothy 3 and 2, it says, "A bishop must be blameless, a husband of one wife, tempered, sober-minded, good behavior, hospitable, able to teach," and then in verse 4, "one who rules his own household well, having his children in submission with reverence." So, if we look at how we are supposed to conduct ourselves, not only as husbands, but as fathers, that we have these roles within the church that have to be fulfilled by somebody that can do those roles. And also, I want to mention in verse 5, for it says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" Right? So we had talked about, Abe had mentioned that being a father is easy, but being a father and bringing up people, bringing up our children according to the Bible, right? That's what's hard. That's what we need to be doing. To bring them up according to this and ruling the house, therefore, that the person that does this can fulfill these job duties. Because we have to set the tone for the household as a father. And also, I'm kind of mentioning these things because I am a father starting out, right? So this lesson really is for me starting out as a father. So that's kind of why I've put these ideas together, because fathers need to set the tone for the household. So let's talk a little bit about setting the tone for the household, because this is actually a verse and a passage I see a lot hanging in people's homes. You might see this, Joshua 24 and 15. People normally use the latter part of this, but I'd like to read this whole section here. In Joshua 24 and 15, it says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, that they went on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is a quote that I commonly see. This quote, I normally see it in stores that have decorations that you can hang stuff up in your house. And it is something good to remember, especially as fathers. This is something about setting the tone for the household. Because we saw earlier, in order to be a deacon or an elder, we needed to conduct the household well in order for us to serve that position. So in this, you can see where Joshua is saying his household, he is setting up to serve the Lord. So, with that, we have to put kind of these sections together about serving the Lord. So we have these fathers, right? So we have a father who's a husband at this point to have children, that we need to set the tone for the household. So then it gets into parenting, right? So as we go throughout our steps, so all good parenting begins with a fear of the Lord. So I'd like to just talk about that real quick and just kind of touch on this subject of parenting. So let's look at Proverbs 14 and 26. Proverbs 14 and 26, it says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have place of refuge." So with that, we know that if we fear the Lord, that there is strong confidence. This confidence will help us in parenting. This confidence will help us in running the household according to the way the Lord wants us to do this. So I just thought this was an important verse to kind of go along with the other sections that we have. We had also mentioned, too, that children are a blessing from God. And I would like to look at this verse here in Psalms 127, 3 through 5. I'd like to take a look at this, and let's think about this verse for a little bit. So it says, "Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." So let's think about this real quick. I hope that everybody kind of has an understanding of what arrows and a quiver is, right? So I think of this often. I really like the study of wars. I know that may sound bad, but I love history, and I like to go back and read about different studies of wars and different time frames. And I was thinking, if you were a warrior at this time, and you had an empty quiver, that's a bad feeling. Right? That means you have no support. As we know that a lot of archers and armies, they were normally set back and they might not even have carried a sword. They were part of the archer team. Right? So imagine being in a battle and reaching back and have nothing there. Right? Nothing there. There is nothing to support you going forth in battle. And I was kind of thinking of how this is referring to things, right? It says an arrow. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth, right? So you have something that can help support you, right? Something that will help you become a better father. You know, every time I look at Emma, I think, you know, I'm working hard for her. And I think those arrows are like that support for that warrior, right? So having a quiver full of them, I might have to talk to Jenna about that, but having a quiver full of them, right, is saying that you have a lot of support. I think of your family and everything to make sure that there is plenty of support there. I couldn't imagine being in the midst of a battle and running out of arrows. Right? That would be a bad feeling. That would be a bad feeling. So, we talk about how children are a gift from God, right? So they are kind of like arrows to a warrior. So let's talk about the chief job of a father. So we had mentioned this morning, we were talking about God's plan was to kind of put all this together, right? So we have a plan of things to follow, that we want to follow God to kind of put everything here together. So let's look at this. The chief job of a father is to teach his children biblical wisdom. And I pulled this from Deuteronomy. It's from Deuteronomy 6 through 9. And it states, "And the words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your own children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes, and shall write them in the doorposts of your house and on your gates," right? So we're talking about teaching them to be diligent, right? This is talking about when you sit in your house and when you walk with them, when you lie down and when you wake up, right? Talking about being in wisdom, talking about teaching your children all of the time. I thought this was kind of an important verse to use, right? When we talk about training them, right? This isn't something that we can take a break from, right? It's not like I'm going to go leave Emma just in the living room by herself for a couple days and be like, you know what, I'm not going to do anything for a couple days, right? This is something that we need to do constantly, right? It's a constant thing. And with that, sometimes we need some strength, right? Sometimes it can really wear you out. For the ones that have little ones, right? It can really wear you out. So let's talk about finding some strength, right? Where would we look to if we need some strength? Well, hopefully we would look to the Bible for parenting strength. So let's look at this. In Joshua 1 and 9, it states, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you for wherever you go." So we know when we do things that we have God that's there to help us. God is there to help us along this parenting path, right? So even though we may look back and say, well, I wish I would have done that, or I wish I would have done this, well, knowing that God is with us to give us courage, right, is to kind of help us with parenting. And also I'm referring to parenting as with both parents, right, and not just as a father, right? This is the household, right, taken care of. So, well, also we talk about fathers. We talk to your kids about the Bible and help them to learn the Scriptures. Right, we were actually talking this morning about learning the Scriptures. Sometimes it's very useful to sit down with somebody to help you learn the Word. However, I like a lot of the things that I'm mentioning this morning. All of the points that I'm making are right from the Bible. There's nothing that I can say any more than what God has put together here for us. So let's kind of look at this, right? Because we're talking about using the Scriptures to kind of help us learn. So, in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, it states, that all scriptures is given by inspiration of good and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped of every good work. Right? So, when we think about learning the scriptures, right, we should teach them to our kids. However, we can also use these same scriptures to help ourselves. Right? Because if I sit down and study, hopefully when Emma's old enough, right, we sit down, if the Lord's will, right? We can sit down and study, right? If I sit down and study with her, I will probably profit from that as well, right? And this will just keep going, and it'll just kind of be the same motion, right, that will just keep building us in the faith of the Lord. So, when we talk to our kids about the Scriptures, we also want to keep in mind that God works through the fathers to impact their children and the families. So, let's also take a look at a verse here that kind of puts this together. So, let's look at Genesis 18 and 19. So, let's read that. For I have known him in the order that may command his children, and in the household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and judgment, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to them. Right? So we know a lot about Abraham, Abraham being a father at this time. When we go back and look at what he did, Abe had a few things in his lesson about Abraham and about the importance of what he did, right? And then God, he did what God wanted him to do, really, when it comes down to it. He did what God commanded and instructed him to do, a lot like Noah did, right? He did in what was commanded of him. So, when we teach our children wisdom, we also need to know that that brings us joy. So, let's look here in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and 24, it states, "The father of the righteousness will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." Right? So, how do we beget a wise child? Right? It goes back to the other verses, right, about bringing them up in the wisdom of the Lord, right? To talk about the other verses about how we are to raise children according to God's will, that's how they will gain this wisdom, right? And then we'll delight in their wisdom that they've gained from what we've studied with them. So also, we need to teach our children to lead their lives based on biblical views here. So let's look at Proverbs 22 and 26. "Train up a children in the way we should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, it was funny this morning in the upstairs Bible study, because I kept thinking Cody kept touching on every point that I was going to make this morning. But with that, we were talking about how everything has to go together, right? And about how when we bring up our children, we are kind of saying that, you know, hopefully it won't be a big shock as they keep following the word of the Lord, right? Because they are brought up in it. They are raised to follow it. They understand it. Hopefully they understand it, right? And they hopefully won't depart from it, right? If they know what it says and what to teach and what to follow, that this verse right here talking about training up the children in the way, right? And when he is old, he'll not depart from it, right? This is a verse that makes me feel good, that if I know that I bring up Emma and I teach her what's right, that these verses will come true, because this is God's will. And also, we need to remember that our choices and our actions will impact our kids. So, just kind of keep that in mind, that our choices and actions will also impact our kids. So let's look at Exodus 34, 6 through 7. And it says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundantly in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and the children's children, and their children, and for generations." So, just kind of keep this in mind, that our actions, right, could actually impact our kids. But we know that God's mercy and grace is long-suffering. Throughout all of these generations, they will have God's grace. Also, a good father disciplines his son out of love and with love, right? So we're talking about a little bit about discipline this morning and about what we have. So I just wanted to mention here in Proverbs 3, 11 through 12, when it talks about discipline. And it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor dust his deceive his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father of the son in wisdom he delights." Right? So, just because we might have to give one of our little ones a spanking, right? It's because we're doing it to chastise, right? It's just like if Emma ever reaches for the stove, right? I'm going to whack her hand out of the way, right? Because what's going to hurt worse? Me pushing her out of the way or getting burnt on the stove? I think of these things about the discipline that it takes, right? Because God disciplines us and we have His Word on how we are to act, about how we are to conduct ourselves. It's kind of along with the lessons that we've been having in the morning about conducting ourselves. And another way we should conduct ourselves is thinking about how we are working with our children and not provoke them. So a lot of us know this verse, right? This is Ephesians 6 and 4. And it says, "And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I had really, really thought about this one. A couple months ago, I had invited a friend of mine that's actually a criminologist to speak in one of my classes. And he was a forensics investigator for years, and he was talking about bad people. That's how he categorized them. I thought that was interesting. So he categorized people as just bad people, and he actually got down to a lot of the science of it, and he was basically saying that if a child is born, there's a lot of different science aspects that goes with this, but a lot of children that are born have higher levels of electrical current in their systems. I know it's going to sound weird, but he was stating if those children are actually put in households that have high stress levels, it's almost 100% guaranteed that they are going to do something wrong later in life and maybe in prison. It was something that he was just finishing. He was a professor for Xavier, and he was actually just finishing this study. And it's actually quite astonishing about how you take a child and you put them in a high-stressed home, a home that's not raised with a father and a mother teaching him to do what's right in God's sight. If you put them in a home that has high stress levels, they're going to act out, and they're normally going to act out in very bad ways. It was actually astonishing watching him kind of go through this idea, and I've really been thinking about this. Right? Our houses should be loving households that the fathers don't provoke their children to wrath. I was thinking about that with that study he was talking about, because those fathers that provoke their children to wrath are actually turning those children into something pretty bad. So I like just to think about that every time I think of this verse, then that kind of comes into mind. So, of course, God cares about the relationship between fathers and their kids, right? So let's look at this. Let's look in Malachi 4 and 6. It says, "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Right? So we kind of see here that God will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and children to their fathers. You know, this is something I've thought about too. Back when I worked at a company in Dayton, I had a couple people that worked for me that have kids, and they constantly were showing me their baby pictures, and I was like, I don't really care, right? But now that I'm a father, I'm like, oh man, I want to see your pictures. Here's my pictures. Right? So I had thought about that, about a father turning his heart to a child, because it is a completely different aspect you have, right? So Abe was mentioning just some of the things that we have about being a father, and maybe even looking back on things, and about that you mentioned a curse we might put on our kids is like, just wait till you have kids, right? It's something that I've thought about quite a bit, because after you've had one, it's your whole idea of kids have changed, right? So that's kind of what I was thinking with this verse, because it really does turn the heart, right? It really does turn the heart. So the way you lead your life can bless your children. So let's look in Proverbs 20 and 7. It says, "The righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed after him. So, yet again, we're talking about fathers, husbands of a household, as long as they're walking in integrity, right? They're doing what he wants us to do. They're studying, they're teaching the kids, they're bringing them up in wisdom and admiration for the Lord, right? It's creating this circle of everything that's put together, right? And then with that, it says that his children are blessed after him. So when we kind of look at God's design here, we can kind of put all these pieces together. Now this is talking about the S's that aren't in the right place, but yet I wanted to show that they are actually possessing these things. So fathers need to follow the word of the Heavenly Father, right? So the words, as in they need to follow the Bible. So fathers should love their wives and be a good husband. Fathers need to raise their children well according to the word. Fathers need to work for the local church by filling the requirements of an overseer that we saw there. And that fathers should train their children to follow the word over the course of their lives. So with each of these pieces, it kind of creates this loop, right? So yet again, when we were talking this morning from James, we had all of these pieces. And we were just talking about how amazing all of these pieces have to work together, right? So God's will had us do all of these things, right? So we have fathers need to love their wives, need to raise their children, work for the local church, train their children to follow, be a good husband, right? And then this is just kind of the pattern that should just keep going, right? These patterns are what we just looked at from the verses, that we kind of need to follow these patterns to kind of make this perfect circle of relationship with God. I keep thinking, if we didn't have one of these pieces, it wouldn't work, right? So let's say if the fathers didn't love their wives, right? This piece, this relationship that God's put together doesn't fit, right? So if fathers don't raise their children well, right, it just breaks this whole cycle. And kind of here in closing, I just kind of wanted to mention a few things just about fathers, right? Because I kind of have the whole life cycle of the fathers here about being a good husband, love their wives, raise their children, train, work for the local church, right? We kind of see a lifetime worth of work and not just something over the course of a couple years. So with that, I found this on the internet, and when I read it, it really impacted me. So I didn't write this, but I would like to read it real quick. And this is just how a kid may view their father years at a time. So let's just kind of look at this real quick. So, 4 years, kid's more like, my dad can do anything. 8 years, dad doesn't know. Right? So just within 2 years, 4 years. So, 12 years, oh well, naturally father doesn't understand. Then as we go, 14 years, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. Right? 21 years, oh, that man's out of date. What would you expect, right? 25 years, he comes up with good ideas now and then, right? 30 years, must find out what dad thinks about this, right? 35 years, little patience, let's get dad's input first. What would dad have thought about this? 50 years. And 60 years, I wish I could talk with dad once more, right? Kind of think about that. So, with that, you know, this kind of impacted me. Like I said, I didn't write this. I found this. But I thought it was great talking about Father's Day. Kind of think about, you know, the impact that our fathers have over the years with us. And there's no better example in the Bible that we have other than God and His love for His Son. I couldn't imagine what God must have went through witnessing bringing His only Son down to earth, that the people that God created crucified His Son on a cross. But those things had to happen. And here in John 3:16, this is something that we all know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That we know that God had to do this in order to send His Son, someone that was blameless, someone that was perfect, to die on the cross for everyone, that He died for everyone. So in closing, I'd like just to think of that today when we think about Father's Day, when we think about bringing up our kids according to what's right, that we have this perfect example of a father and son here. And this is something that we had always strived to be. But God gave His only Son to die on the cross for our sins. I'd like just to think of that as we stand and sing.